ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing our reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I understand that we're reading from a Krishna book. So we can do that also if there's time, but I was going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's 10.1. And I believe we left off from the twin Yamal Arjun trees being knocked down. Which has some, this section, the childhood pastimes of Krishna, have some excellent purports by Srila Prabhupada, and we can just cover them, and then, time permitting, we'll go on to the actual Krishna book reading. So, as was left off, the twin Yamal Arjun trees had been uprooted, and the cowherd men, as Prabhupada writes here, headed by Nanda, could not believe that Krishna could have uprooted these trees in such a wonderful way. And they began to question the cowherd boys, and they responded that yes, Krishna was bound, and he drug the mortar between the trees, knocking them over. Directly after that, the gopis would say, "If you dance, dear, my dear Krishna, then I shall give you half a sweetmeat." By saying these words, or by clapping their hands, all the gopis encouraged Krishna in different ways. At such times, although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would smile and dance according to their desire. And if he were a wooden doll in their hands, sometimes, as if he were a wooden doll in their hands, sometimes he would sing very loudly at their bidding. In this way, Krishna came completely under the control of the gopis. Sometimes Mother Jasoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, "Bring this article or bring that article." Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would touch them and stand there. Just to invite the pleasure of his relatives, he would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. You can imagine. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Rajvasis by his childhood activities. Purport. That Krishna performed childhood pastimes to increase the pleasure of his devotees was another transcendental humor. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Brajbhumi, but also to others who were captivated by his external potency and opulence. Both the internal devotees, who were simply absorbed in love of Krishna, and the external devotees, who were captivated by his unlimited potency, were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. Once a woman selling fruit was calling, "O inhabitants of Brajbhumi, if you want to purchase some fruits, come here." Upon hearing this, Krishna immediately took some grains and went to barter as if he needed some fruits. Purport. Aborigines generally go to the villages to sell fruits. How much the aborigines were attached to Krishna is here described. Krishna, to show his favor to the aborigines, would immediately go purchase fruits, bartering with paddy in his hand, as he had seen others do. Translation. While Krishna was going to the fruit vendor very hastily, most of the grains he was holding fell. Nonetheless, the fruit vendor filled Krishna's hands with fruits, and her fruit basket was immediately filled with jewels and gold. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati taram bhakti upharitam asnami prayatatmana. Krishna is so kind that if anyone offers him a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water, he will immediately accept it. The only condition is that these things should be offered with bhakti. Otherwise, if one is puffed up with false prestige, thinking, I have so much opulence and I'm giving something to Krishna, one's offering will not be accepted by Krishna. The fruit vendor, although a woman belonging to the poor aborigine class, dealt with Krishna with great affection, saying, Krishna, you have come to me to take some fruit in exchange for grains. All the grains have fallen, but still you may take whatever you like. Thus she filled Krishna's palms with whatever fruits he could carry. In exchange, Krishna filled her whole basket with jewels and gold. From this incident, one should learn that for anything offered to Krishna with love and affection, Krishna can reciprocate many millions of times over, both materially and spiritually. The basic principle involved is an exchange of love. Therefore, Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, Yad karoshi yad jasnasi yad jahosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tad kurusha madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. With love and affection, one should try to give something to Krishna from one's source of income. Then one's life will be successful. Krishna is full in all opulences. He does not need anything from anyone. But if one is prepared to give something to Krishna, that is for one's own benefit. The example given in this connection is that when one's real face is decorated, reflection of one's face is automatically decorated. Similarly, if we try to serve Krishna with all our opulences, we as parts and parcels or reflections of Krishna will become happy in exchange. Krishna is always happy, for he is Atmaram, fully satisfied with his own opulence. One important point that Srila Prabhupada makes in this particular purport is that whatever one may need materially and spiritually is supplied by Krishna, provided our offerings are made with love and affection. It's important because sometimes in devotional service even, one questions, I need this and I need that, I need so many arrangements, what am I going to do when I get old? Or what am I going to do when I get married? Or what am I going to do? Even as a renunciate, traveling, preaching, where and what and how. But it's very nicely described here by Srila Prabhupada that if one simply surrenders and offers with in the proper mood and mentality, then everything is provided. And one doesn't have to be in anxiety about it. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example that the example of the one's real face. Is when one's real face is decorated, the reflection of one's face is automatically decorated. Similarly, if we try to serve Krishna with all our opulences, we as part and parcels or reflections of Krishna will become happy in exchange, because Krishna is always happy. Translation. Once after the uprooting of the Yamalarjuna trees, Rohini Devi went to call Rama and Krishna, who had both gone to the riverside and were playing with the other boys with deep attention. Purport. Mother Jasoda was more attached to Krishna and Balaram than Rohini Devi was. Although Rohini Devi was the mother of Balaram, Mother Jasoda sent Rohini Devi to call Rama and Krishna from their play, since it was the right time for lunch. Therefore, Rohini Devi went to call them, breaking their engagement in play. Prabhupada makes a very nice point here in the translation that the boys were playing with Krishna and Rama with a deep attention. It's important that when we engage in our devotional service, that we do it with deep attention, not that we just sort of haphazardly go through our devotional activities, but it's a or even as we recite every morning in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one should be very attentive to that chanting, because it's a very intimate exchange that's going on. It's a very sacred and intimate and very personal experience. So when we're engaging in, whether it's serving the deities or whether it's associating with the Vaishnavas or associating with the holy name or associating with Prasadam, and there's so many examples. And just as here, the cowherd boys with Rohini, with Rama and Krishna were very attentive. They were in deep meditation in their playing. So also we should consider that one should be very attentive in executing one's devotional service, because it's directly in contact with Krishna. Translation. Because of being too attached to playing with the other boys, Krishna and Balaram did not return upon being called by Rohini. Therefore, Rohini sent Mother Jasoda to call them back, because Mother Jasoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. Purport. Jasodham prayasam aasha. These very words show that since Krishna and Balaram did not care to return in response to the order of Rohini, Rohini thought that if Jasoda called, they would have to return, for Jasoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. Translation. Krishna and Balaram, being attached to their play, were playing with the other boys, although it was very late. Therefore, Mother Jasoda called them back for lunch. Because of her ecstatic love and affection for Krishna and Balaram, milk flowed from her breasts. Purport. The word ajohavit means calling them again and again. Krishna and Balaram, she called, please come back. You are late for your lunch. You have played sufficiently. Come back. Translation. Mother Jasoda said, my dear son Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, come here and drink the milk of my breast. My dear darling, you must be very tired because of hunger and the fatigue of playing so long. There is no need to play anymore. My dear Baladev, best of our family, please come immediately with your younger brother Krishna. You both ate in the morning, and now you ought to eat something more. Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, is now waiting to eat. Oh, my dear son Balaram, he is waiting for you. Therefore, come back to come back to please us. All the boys playing with you and Krishna should now go to their homes. Purport. It appears that Nanda Maharaj regularly took his food with his two sons, Krishna and Balaram. Jasoda told the other boys, "Now you should go to your homes. Father and son generally sit together." So Mother Jasoda requested Krishna and Balaram to return, and she advised the other boys to go home so that their parents would not have to wait for them. Translation: Mother Jasoda further told Krishna, "My dear son, because of playing all day, your body has become covered with dust and sand. Therefore, come back, take your bath, and cleanse yourself. Today the moon is conjoined with the auspicious star of your birth. Therefore, be pure and give cows in charity to the brahmanas." Purport. It is a custom of Vedic culture that whenever there is an auspicious ceremony, one should give valuable cows in charity to the brahmanas. Therefore, Mother Jasoda requested Krishna, "Instead of being enthusiastic in playing, now please come and be enthusiastic in charity." Yajna dana tapak karma na tyajam karma eva tat. As advised in Bhagavad Gita, sacrifice, charity, and austerity should never be given up. Yajyo dhanam tapas chaiva pavinana mahishinam. Even if one is very much advanced in spiritual life, one should not give up these three duties. To observe one's birthday ceremony, one should do something in terms of one of these three items, yajna, dana, and tapak, and all of them, or all of them together. So we're seeing how Krishna is setting the perfect example. And it's interesting how Prabhupada makes the point that father and son generally sit together in their honoring of a prasadam. It's not exactly like modern society where families are broken and scrambled and everyone just runs in and out on the run, etc., etc. But it's a very opportune time for a quality time, right? You sit and you honor prasadam together, the father and the son, and that one should also be mindful of doing auspicious things. On such days as birthdays. So if there's anyone here that any birthdays coming up, be mindful of that. Translation: just see how all your playmates of your own age have been cleansed and decorated with beautiful ornaments by their mothers. You should come here and after you have taken your bath, eaten your lunch, and been decorated with ornaments, you may play with your friends again. Purport. Generally, young boys are competitive. If one friend has done something, another friend also wants to do something. Therefore, Mother Jasoda pointed out how Krishna's playmates were decorated, so that Krishna might be induced to decorate himself like them. Translation. My dear Maharaj Prickett, because of intense love and affection, Mother Jasoda, Krishna's mother, considered Krishna, who was at the peak of all opulences, to be her own son. Thus she took Krishna by the hand along with Balaram and brought them home, where she performed her duties of fully bathing them, dressing them, and feeding them. Purport. Krishna is always neat, clean, and opulent, and does not need to be washed, bathed, or dressed. Yet Mother Jasoda, because of affection, considered him her ordinary child, and did her duties to keep her son brilliant. As if Krishna needs it, as Prabhupada points out, he doesn't need it. He's always neat, clean, and opulent. But just to give us the opportunity for some seva, he comes and makes himself available. It's like sometimes, you know, the pujaris, they have to, they bathe and dress the deities every morning. It's not that Krishna's dirty or his clothes are dirty or, no, it's, again, it's just an opportunity for us, the conditioned souls, to have some very nice, intimate association. Translation, Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "Then one time, having seen the great disturbances in Vrindavan, all the elderly persons among the cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaj assembled and began to consider what to do to stop the continuous disturbing situations in Braj. At this meeting of all the inhabitants of Gokula, a cowherd man named Upananda, who was the most mature in age and knowledge, and was very experienced according to time, circumstances, and country, made this suggestion for the benefit of Rama and Krishna. He said, 'My dear friends, the cowherd men, in order to do good to this place Gokula, we should leave it, because so many disturbances are always occurring here, just for the purpose of killing Rama and Krishna. The child Krishna, simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was somehow or other rescued from the hands of the Rakshasi Putana, who was determined to kill him. Then again, by the mercy of the Supreme Godhead, the handcart missed falling upon the child. Then again, the demon Trinavarta, in the form of a whirlwind, took the child away into the dangerous sky to kill him. But the demon fell down onto a slab of stone. In that case also, by the mercy of Lord Vishnu or his associates, the child was saved. Even the other day, neither Krishna nor any of his playmates died from the falling of the two trees, although the children were near the trees or even between them. This also is to be considered the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these incidents are being caused by some unknown demon. Therefore, before he comes here to create another disturbance, it is our duty to go somewhere else with the boys until there are no more disturbances." Purport. Upananda suggested, "By the mercy of Lord Vishnu, Krishna has always been saved from so many dangerous incidents. Now let us leave this place and go someplace where we may worship Lord Vishnu undisturbed, before there is another cause of death from some demon who may attack us. A devotee desires only that he may execute devotional service undisturbed. Actually, we see, however, that even during the presence of Krishna, when Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men had the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their presence, there were disturbances. Of course, in every case, Krishna came out victorious. The instruction we may derive from this is that we should not be disturbed by so-called disturbances. There have been so many disturbances to our Krishna consciousness movement, but we cannot give up our forward march. On the contrary, people are receiving this movement very enthusiastically all over the world, and they are purchasing literature about Krishna consciousness with redoubled energy. Thus, there are both encouragements and disturbances. This was even so in Krishna's time." Which is, again, a very good lesson that even in devotional life, there may be some disturbances. Something may not be there. The prasadam hasn't arrived, or the vehicle's not there, or, you know, the hot water got turned off. I hear that a lot. The hot water's not there. Or the sink is clogged. So there's always going to be disturbances, even in Krishna's time, what to speak of nowadays in this day and age when the disturbances are ever increasing. But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the Sankirtan movement, through chanting of the holy names, we have a shield to protect ourselves. Between Nandeshwar and Mahavan is a place named Vrindavan. This place is very suitable because it is lush with grass, plants, and creepers for the cows and other animals. It has nice gardens and tall mountains, and is full of facilities for the happiness of all the gopas and gopis and our animals. Purport. Vrindavan is situated between Nandeshwar and Mahavan. Formerly, the cowherd men had shifted to Mahavan, but still there were disturbances. Therefore, the cowherd men selected Vrindavan, which was between the two villages, and decided to go there. Translation. Therefore, let us immediately go today. There is no need to wait any further. If you agree to my proposal, let us prepare all the bullock carts and put the cows in front of us, and let us go there. Upon hearing this advice from Upananda, the cowherd men unanimously agreed. Very nice, they said, very nice. Right? Sometimes you see very nice. Thus they sorted out their household affairs, placed their clothing and other paraphernalia on the carts, and immediately started for Vrindavan. Keeping all the old men, women, and children, and household paraphernalia on the bullock carts, and keeping all the cows in front, the cowherd men picked up their bows and arrows with great care and sounded bugles made of horn. O King Prickett, in this way, with bugles vibrating all around, the cowherd men, accompanied by their priests, began their journey. Purport. In this connection, it is to be noted that although the inhabitants of Gokula were mostly cowherd men and cultivators, they knew how to defend themselves from danger and how to give protection to the women, the old men, the cows, and the children, as well as to the Brahminical Purohits. So it's not that as devotees we were not prepared for disaster, right? We're doing our disaster training right now. So we want to remind everyone to keep some water on hand and some other essentials, batteries. No, the point is that when danger is there, even the Vaishnavas are prepared to do the necessary. Translation, the cowherd men, women, translation, the cowherd women riding on the bullock carts were dressed very nicely with excellent garments, and their bodies, especially their breasts, were decorated with fresh kumkum powder. As they rode, they began to chant with great pleasure the pastimes of Krishna. Thus, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great pleasure, Mother Jasoda and Rohini Devi, so as not to be separated from Krishna and Balaram for even a moment, got up with them on one bullock cart. In this situation, they all looked very beautiful. Purport. It appears that Mother Jasoda and Rohini could not be separated from Krishna and Balaram even for a moment. They used to pass their time either by taking care of Krishna and Balaram or by chanting about their pastimes. Thus, Mother Jasoda and Rohini looked very beautiful. In this way, they entered Vrindavan, where it was always pleasing to live in all seasons. They made a temporary place to inhabit by placing their bullock carts around them in the shape of a half moon. O King Prickett, when Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavan and Govardhan on the banks of the river Jamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. In this way, Krishna and Balaram, acting like small boys and talking in half-broken language, gave transcendental pleasure to all inhabitants of Braj. In due course of time, they became old enough to take care of the calves. Purport. As soon as Krishna and Balaram were little grown up, they were meant for taking care of the calves. Although born of a very well-to-do family, they still had to take care of the calves. This was the system of education. Those who were not born in Brahmana families were not meant for academic education. The Brahmanas were trained in a literary academic education. The Kshatriyas were trained to take care of the estate, and the Vaishyas learned how to cultivate the land and take care of the cows and calves. There was no need to waste time going to school to be falsely educated. And later, increased the numbers of the unemployed. Krishna and Balaram taught us by their personal behavior. Krishna took care of the calves and played his flute, and Balaram took care of agricultural activities with his plow in his hand. that purport speaks for itself. Not far away from their residential quarters, both Krishna and Balaram equipped with all kinds of playthings, played with other cowherd boys and began to tend these small calves. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would play on their flutes. Sometimes they would throw ropes and stones devised for getting fruits from the trees. Sometimes they would throw only stones, and sometimes their ankle bells tinkling, they would play football with fruits like bael and amalaki. Sometimes they would cover themselves with blankets and imitate cows and bulls and fight with one another, roaring loudly. And sometimes they would imitate the voices of the animals. In this way, they enjoyed sporting exactly like two ordinary human children. Purport: Vrindavan is full of peacocks, or used to be. The Vrindavan forest is always full of cuckoos, ducks, swans, peacocks, cranes, and also monkeys, bulls, and cows. So Krishna and Balaram used to imitate the sounds of these animals and enjoy sporting. One day, while Rama and Krishna, along with their playmates, were tending the calves on the bank of the river Jamuna, another demon arrived there, desiring to kill them. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw that the demon had assumed the form of a calf and entered among the groups of other calves, he pointed out to Baladev, "Here is another demon." Then he very slowly approached the demon as if he did not understand the demon's intentions. Purport: The import of the words Mugdha Iva is that although Krishna knows everything, here he pretended that he did not understand why the demon had entered among the calves, and he informed Baladev by a sign. Translation: Therefore, Sri Krishna caught the demon by the hind legs and tail, twirled the demon's whole body very strongly until the demon was dead, and threw him into the top of a kapita tree, which then fell down along with the body of the demon, who had assumed a great form. Purport: Krishna killed the demon in such a way as to get the kapita fruits to fall, so that he and Balaram and the other boys could take advantage of the opportunity to eat them. The kapita is sometimes called shatbela pala. The pulp of this fruit is very palatable. It is sweet and sour, and everyone likes it. Upon seeing the dead body of the demon, all the cowherd boys exclaimed, "Well done, Krishna! Very good, very good. Thank you." In the upper planetary system, all the demigods were pleased, and therefore they showered flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the killing of the demon, Krishna and Balaram finished their breakfast in the morning, and while continuing to take care of the calves, they wandered here and there. Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who maintained the entire creation, now took charge of the calves as if cowherd boys. Yeah, we've got probably about 5 more minutes here. Purport: Paritanaya saranam vinashaya duskritam. Krishna's daily business here in the material world was to kill duskritis. Thus, this did not hamper his daily affairs, for it was routine work. While he tended the calves on the bank of the river Jamuna, 2 or 3 incidents took place every day. And although these were serious, killing the demons one after another appeared to be his daily routine work. Translation: One day, all the boys, including Krishna and Balaram, each boy taking his own group of calves, brought the calves to a reservoir of water, desiring to allow them to drink. After the animals drank water, the boys drank water there also. Right by the reservoir, the boys saw a gigantic body resembling a mountain peak, broken and struck down by a thunderbolt. They were afraid even to see such a huge living being. That great body demon was named Bakasura. He had assumed the body of a duck with a very sharp beak. Having come there, he immediately swallowed Krishna. When Balaram and the other boys saw that Krishna had been devoured by the gigantic duck, they became almost unconscious, like senses without life. Purport: Although Balaram can do everything, because of intense affection for his brother, he was momentarily bewildered. A similar thing is stated to have happened in connection with Rukmini Harana, the kidnapping of Rukmini. When Krishna, after kidnapping Rukmini, was attacked by all the kings, Rukmini was momentarily bewildered until the Lord took the proper steps. Translation: Krishna, who was the father of Lord Brahma, but who was acting as the son of a coward man, became like fire, burning the root of the demon's throat, and the demon Bakasura immediately disgorged him. When the demon saw that Krishna, although having been swallowed, was unharmed, he immediately attacked Krishna again with his sharp beak. Report: although Krishna is always as soft as a lotus, within the throat of Bakasura, he created a burning sensation of being hotter than fire. Although Krishna's whole body is sweeter than sugar candy, Bakasura tasted bitterness and therefore immediately vomited Krishna up. Krishna is sweeter than sugar candy. When Krishna, only a pure devotee can understand this. It's beyond, you know, for us it's just maybe some sort of fantasy, but when Krishna is accepted as an enemy, he becomes the most intolerable object for the non-devotee, who cannot tolerate Krishna within or without. Here, this is shown by the example of Bakasura. Wow. Krishna becomes intolerable for the non-devotees both within and without. Sometimes people cannot even take prasadam. They're so unfortunate. Translation: when Krishna, the leader of the Vaishnavas, saw that the demon Bakasura, the friend of Kamsa, was endeavoring to attack him, with his arms he captured the demon by the two halves of the beak, and in the presence of all the coward boys, Krishna very easily bifurcated him, as a child splits a blade of virana grass. By thus killing the demon, Krishna very much pleased the denizens of heaven. At that time, the celestial denizens of the higher planetary system showered Malika Pushpa, flowers grown in Nanda Kanana, upon Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura. They also congratulated him by sounding celestial kettle drums and conch shells and by offering prayers. Seeing this, the coward boys were struck with wonder. Just as the senses are pacified when consciousness and life return, so when Krishna was freed from this danger, all the boys, including Balaram, thought that their life had been restored. They embraced Krishna in good consciousness, and then they collected their own calves and returned to Brajbhumi, where they declared the incident loudly. When the coward men and women heard about the killing of Bakasura in the forest, they were very much astonished. Upon seeing Krishna and hearing the story, they received Krishna very eagerly, thinking that Krishna and the other boys had returned from the mouths of death. Thus they looked upon Krishna and the boys with silent eyes, not wanting to turn their eyes aside now that the boys were safe. I'm just skipping a couple purports so we can finish this chapter. The coward men headed by Nanda Maharaj began to contemplate. It is very astonishing that although this boy Krishna has many times faced many varied causes of death, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it was these causes of fear that were killed instead of him. Although the causes of death, the daityas, were very fierce, they could not kill this boy Krishna. Rather, because they came to kill innocent boys, as soon as they approached, they themselves were killed, exactly like flies attacking a fire. Anyone who is against the control of Supreme Personality of Godhead must be killed, life after life. Ordinary living beings are subject to karma, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always victorious over the demons. Translation: the words of persons in full knowledge of Brahman never become untrue. It is very wonderful that whatever Garga Muni predicted, we are now actually experiencing in all detail. In this way, all the coward men headed by Nanda Maharaj enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations. In this way, Krishna and Balaram passed their childhood age in Brajbhumi by engaging in activities of childish play, such as playing hide-and-seek, constructing a make-believe bridge on the ocean, and jumping here and there like monkeys. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.